Good morning. My name is Jeremy, and I am the only thing standing between you and lunch. I'll try to keep it down to a minimum amount of time, although I do like to listen to myself talk. You know, as I have gotten older, which is happening to me at this point, I have become a lot more skeptical as to what I see. Let me give you an example. There are lots of videos that are going around on the internet, and the purpose of these videos is to fool you. I think of a certain Tony Hawk video where a skateboarder skateboards on a quote-unquote hoverboard, and the comment sections on the screen were full of, "Wow, where can I get one?" But as you may know, we do not have hoverboards. These do not exist. And the purpose of the video was to fool us. I think of another video of skydiving cats. Yes, it is a Nordic commercial for insurance. If you Google it, you will find it. And the comment section there wasn't, "Oh, cool, I would like to see this again." It was a bunch of cat lovers who said, "How dare you throw cats out of planes?" To which the company responded, "It was just green screen and a fan. No cats were harmed during the making of this skydiving video." It's interesting because the translation of that to my life as an adult is that when I see or hear things that are miraculous, I am skeptical. I have become skeptical of what is miraculous. And yet some of the most important things that have happened to me in my life as a Christian, in my life at camp, have been miraculous. And when I tell people, oftentimes they ask me, "Did that really happen?" Because they've become skeptical too. I met a skeptical kid once. His name was Chris. Christopher. I wouldn't normally remember this gentleman except for one thing that stood out to me in my memory at camp. He was in Cabin Seminole, and all of the boys at camp were talking about girls. These were older boys, as you may imagine. It was teen week, and all the boys in the cabin were talking about girls. And then Chris chimed in from his top bunk near the cabin door, and he said, "Oh, I am in love with the most beautiful girl." And everyone stopped talking, and they said, "Well, Chris, tell us about her." "Yeah," and they egged him on, "tell us about her." And he said, "Oh, she is so pretty. She has beautiful brown hair, and she wears the most beautiful makeup, and she has the best clothes." And they're like, "Wow, she sounds great." And he goes, "Yes, and when she turns 18, because Chris was turning 18 in 2 months, he said, "And when she turns 18, I'm just going to marry this girl." And we said, "Well, how old is she?" And he said, "Well, next week I think she'll be 13. And everyone was quiet. And that's why I remember Christopher. Christopher didn't believe in God. When we would sing songs at camp, Christopher wouldn't sing. When we would worship at camp, Christopher wouldn't worship. He wouldn't close his eyes for prayer. He wasn't a Christian child. He was being brought up by a pair of loving foster parents, but all the kids in his home were non-Christian because the parents weren't. And this was his first chance to be in a Christian environment in his whole life. And I would ask him, "Chris, how are you? How did you enjoy the worship?" And Chris would say, "It was fine. I don't really believe in all this Jesus stuff. It just sounds like one more scam." One more thing adults tell kids to trick them. And yet, by the end of the week, being at camp, being with the counselors, being with the staff, worshiping with other children, the last day of camp was a Saturday, and Chris, after we had had our last meeting as a group, he came up to me and he said, "I'm not sure what I think." Chris was skeptical. "But," he said, "I want to know more. I'm not sure what I think. And I'm not sure I want to be involved with you people, but I want to know more about what you're all about." Chris had taken his first step. His first step at 17 to learning more about his Creator and his personal Savior, Jesus Christ. Chris clicked that like box. And you know what's funny? I haven't seen Chris since, and I will probably never see him again, because after 17, we don't let kids come back to camp. And I wonder about what happened to him. You know, there's another aspect to this too. And that is, when we have these stories, who do we share them with? Who do we tell? How do we witness? Because if you're like me, witnessing isn't always the most fun thing you can do. Okay? Partially because we have seen other people witnessing and we cringe. Some of us cringe when we see people witnessing. Why? Because it sounds like they are almost bragging about how much God has blessed them. And so most of us sit quietly when we see miraculous things happen. And you know what's interesting about this is that it is not something new. Even Peter, who saw Jesus, knew Jesus, saw the miracles of Jesus, even Peter denied Christ. Even Peter was quiet when the time arose. Another example I think of, and I'm quite the storyteller, when I think of things to share with people, things that I've seen that are miraculous, is when I was in church, I got a call from a young man, his name was Joseph, and we hadn't talked for several weeks, and he called me and he said, "How are you?" And I said, "Great, I haven't heard from you for a while." And we proceeded to talk at great length. And eventually he came to the point of calling me. He said, "Jeremy, I haven't eaten in a week." "You haven't eaten in a week?" I said. "No," he said. And I wish I could have helped him. I felt bad after I hung up the phone that there was nothing I could do for him. And if I had just let it end there, if I had just felt bad, that would have been the end of it. But that Friday at church, I was approached by a young man, and he said to me, "You know, Jeremy, you know a lot of people. The men's ministry here at Campus Hill Church, I have this $50 gift card for Stater Brothers. Do you know anyone who might need this?" And I said, "Yes, I know someone who might need that." And I called my friend. I said, "You know what? I've got something for you. I'll come over tomorrow after church, and I'll bring it over." "Great," he said. And yet, the next day when I went to church, I talked to another gentleman. And he said, "You know, I have this gift card. We bought 6 of them, and I haven't found anyone. Do you know anyone who could use this gift card?" Another gentleman, completely unrelated to the first one. And I said, "Yes, absolutely." And then at potluck that week, after it was over, I heard this kind of shriek from the kitchen. And one of the deacons, she came out to me and said, "There are 6 frozen lasagnas in the freezer that didn't get cooked this week." She's like, "I don't know what to do with them." And I said, "I'll take them. I know what to do with them." And one after another, events and things lined up so that when I saw my friend that day, my friend who is not an Adventist, I brought him $125 in gift cards, 6 frozen lasagnas, and a bag of groceries that was left over because of the Thanksgiving food drive. And even to this day, I can't believe it. I just can't believe it. You hear about pastors who get up and give sermons, and they say, you know, this one time I was handed $500 to keep the church lights on at the last second, and I would sit in the pew and I would think, I'm not sure. I wonder if that's true. And it's not true until it happens to you, until you see God moving in the world, God's plan interacting with all of us. And it's only when we share that those miracles can happen. It's only when we break the silence and sometimes give up our pride when those beautiful things happen and we can stand witness to them. And those kinds of miracles don't belong to me. And they don't belong to anyone. They belong to all of us. If you have ever dropped a dollar into the tithe plate, you have helped Chris and boys like him and girls like him go to summer camp. And that miracle and that story is your story. It is your miracle. And finally, I want to touch on one thing briefly to end. And that is the subscribe. Now, when I was a counselor a long time ago, more than 10 years ago, I was a counselor, parents would send their kids to camp and they would pay $265. How much? Just want to see if you guys are awake. $265. And I had a kid in my cabin. His name was Ian. And Ian, I had him in my cabin 3 years in a row, and then I got promoted, so I wasn't a counselor anymore. But Ian and me bonded during summer camp. And now because of the internet, Ian is now 23 or 24 years old. He's a young man, and he reached out to me. He reached out to me via Facebook and said, "Hey, I'm Ian, I'm your camper." And I was like, "Great, nice to see you. Nice to touch bases with you again." And he asked me this question: "Do you still believe in all that Christian stuff you taught us as children?" "Yes, I do." He said, "Well, you know, I know better now. I've learned the real truth, that all that stuff you taught me as a child wasn't necessarily true." See, Ian had gone to college and he had met new people and he had decided that the best choice in his life was to become agnostic. That was the decision he had made. But you know what? The important part of that story is that whenever I talk to Ian, even to this day, even over Facebook, guess what we talk about? We talk about religion. And it is the prayer of my heart every day that God will reveal himself to Ian still, and that someday he will come back. Now, it cost that parent $265 10 years ago, but that payment bought their son a counselor for life. So even though some of us may feel lost or on the wrong road, some of us have family members who are non-believers, some of us go to school with people who make fun of us because we are Christians and we believe. You know, those people in my heart are just those who haven't seen God revealed in their lives. And people like us are the ones who can show them. People like us are the ones who can teach them. When I do interviews for camp, 90% of the staff come into my room to interview, and I ask them, "How do you see yourself as a Christian role model at camp?" And 90% of them give me this answer: "Well, if I just act like a Christian, if I just am a Christian, they'll see that and they'll want to be a Christian. And that's true. But Christianity is also something that we teach, isn't it? Pathfinder and Adventure Leaders, Christianity is also something that we teach. It's got to be something we teach. Because when my grandmother first met an Adventist, it wasn't because she saw what they were doing or saw how they were acting on the streets. It was because her neighbor came to her and said, "I have something I want to share with you. There is a truth I need to bring to your heart, Mary." And she gave her Bible studies, and she wasn't a pastor. This young lady who gave my grandmother Bible studies, she wasn't a pastor. She was just a lady who loved God and wanted to share that with others. And my grandma kept going back. She subscribed to that thought, to those ideas, and internalized them. And because of that, my mother, who was in a gang when she was younger, and my mother, who took her grandpa's beer bottles to the local recycling to get nickels so she could buy candy bars, and my mother, who grew up with five other siblings in one house on the mean streets of Bloomington, my mother accepted Christ into her life, and through her, I accepted Christ into mine. Thank you, mothers. My mother, who also would always buy for herself second and always put her children first. I'm going to buy her lunch today. Now, children and parents, let's go ahead and read the scripture one more time to close. Only be careful and watch yourselves closely so you do not forget the things your eyes have seen or let them fade from your heart as long as you live. How long? As long as you live. Teach them to your children and to their children after them. It doesn't say teach them to your children and your children will teach their children. So grandparents, they're talking to you too. Teach them to your children and to their children, grandma and grandpa, after them. And in this way, look at the results. Let's close with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for our mothers, the ones who teach us the way we should be. Thank you for our grandmothers and grandparents and our fathers, those who come and support and teach us also. And Lord, let us always be looking for opportunities for others to be introduced to you, to find that experience, to like you for the first time, to share with others the things that are going on, so that the miraculous things that happen in our lives that we are skeptical of, that we might discredit, come from those who we love and we trust. And finally, help us to always subscribe to the things we need to have in our hearts, to the ideas we need to learn, and to share those things with others that they may also learn about you and subscribe to the Bible. Thank you that we can all be here today, gathered in church, under your roof in worship, and may we go from this place with you in our hearts. I pray these things in your name. Amen. Thank you.